Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Here's a swing and a fly ball to right. Going over is Friedrich near the line. He's got it. Ball game over. Phillies have a base runner in every single inning tonight, but fall to the Brewers 6-2.
The loss no one saw. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilles. The Phillies lose last night 6-2 in Milwaukee as they need to get one in this series to win the tiebreaker over the Brewers for the season series. They didn't get it last night. Ranger, not great again. Offense has a bunch of guys on base. Can't get him in. And the magic number stays at 5 because the Mets had a walk-off hit last night. So tonight, last night was like a nothing for the Phillies. This was a night off the calendar. No movement for the magic number. We did get some. Yeah, it happens. It happens. I'm not going to fret over it. I got enough stuff I'm annoyed about with the Eagles. But we did get some news on the pitching rotation. Guess who's earned his way back in the rotation?
Who is that? Who is that?
Taiwan.
How do we feel about that?
He did pitch well the other day for 3 innings. He'll pitch Thursday, and that's now the earliest day the Phillies could clinch. So the Phillies lose last night 6-2. Wheeler on the mound tonight as they try to take the season series from the Brewers. All right, back to the team that has us all screaming and yelling today. Literally screaming and yelling at each other here in the studio. It's the Eagles, 22-21. They blow that thing last night. Our Twitter question, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. Now, I haven't checked the Twitter poll in a while. I'm curious to see who people are most, putting the blame on today. Who do you blame most for the last night's Eagles loss? Hugh, what do you think is winning this poll? So there's 4 options.
Uh-huh.
Nick Sirianni, the defense, play calling, or Saquon? Which of those 4 you think got the most?
This is Philadelphia. I'm going to say Saquon.
He actually got the least. People are being easy on him.
Okay, yeah, 8%, that's cool. 8%. I'm surprised.
Kyle's the thing about that. Philly is that they love defense. And if they see a team march down in 4 plays, 70 yards, they get a little mad about the defense.
So defense.
Oh, yeah, I should have known because they're mad at me today.
Yes. Defense at 44%. Sirianni at 31%. So the defense and Sirianni are getting the bulk of this thing, 75% combined with the votes there. Let's go to Mark, who's up next on WIP. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Shout out to Hugh. We used to listen to you Atlanta all the time.
Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call, too. I just wanted to I'm a longtime Atlanta Falcons fan and consider myself an expert in pro sport collapses. And this was an ultimate collapse. You know, in my opinion, the loss rests squarely on the coach's shoulders. Bad play calls and not going for the 3. Looked like something I'd see in Atlanta, to be honest with you.
Yeah, the anatomy of a collapse, Mark, unfortunately, as you said, you've seen it a lot. I mean, the fingerprints of the head coach are all over that last night. They didn't get 3 points when they should have early. And then, Mark, I was floored they decided to throw the football and give your team 40 extra seconds in the final 2 minutes of the game. I was floored.
Yeah, it was definitely a surprise. Watching Kirk Cousins, this was our first time to really see what he could do after the Achilles injury. And we were pretty impressed, fan base. But, talking about blame, Saquon Barkley dropped the ball. But, that wasn't the killer. I mean, it all started way before that with the not going for the field goal and, like I said, multiple bad calls. So, I'm not putting it on Saquon. That was a drop ball, but there was a lot before that happened.
You said that wasn't the killer?
No, I don't.
What are you talking about? The game is over if he catches the ball.
Well, he's saying there were other things before that.
That's the turning point of the entire game.
What he's saying is that was a key play, but that was
the
play that struck.
No,
the fact that they didn't go for 3 points hurt, too.
Let me walk you through this, because everybody and their mother watching that game said the Eagles have this game won until Saquon dropped the ball. That's it.
Yeah, I'm not putting it on him, man.
Okay.
I'm going with a bad call.
It's a bad call. I mean, it's a kind of call, Mark.
You ain't even make Mark mad.
No, Mark.
He kept his composure.
You know what it is, and
that's a Southern for you.
He did keep his composure. I need to go to the South. I need to, Kyle and I.
Mark doesn't know what the hell he's watching.
You know what last night was? And everyone out there who wants to apologize for Sirianni can do that. Last night was the kind of game that gets a coach fired. I mean, that's the kind of loss that gets a coach fired. They've lost more games in the last 2 minutes of the game than any team in the NFL the last two seasons.
Hey, why are you playing? Because it reeks of incompetence.
Yes.
I mean, I like Coach Sirianni, but when you have situations like that happen, and there's a lot. Like, say, take away the execution from the players. Take all that out of it. Certain scenarios, certain things that happened in that game that weren't linear as far as the play caller was concerned, that is cause for concern, that people upstairs looking at you like, hold up. So why did you do this in this situation? I would not be surprised if there's a real conversation about, okay, well, tell me about this scenario. Tell me about that scenario. Because now you have to justify some moves that were made, in my opinion.
I'm just wondering what I'm allowed to critique Sirianni on. He doesn't give them a strategical advantage. He's not in charge of the offense. Am I allowed to? He said he poked his head into defensive meetings this summer, right? As Cousins walks down the field. What does the head coach do well? Can anyone tell me one thing he does well? The 9 penalties. They're unprepared. He doesn't break them down after the game. The fourth down decision didn't work. What does he do well? One thing.
I think he's appropriately aggressive during games. You're all just mad because they didn't work out. Like, this is a decision that if Dan Campbell makes for the Lions,
he's consistent. He goes for it all the time.
It's not about consistency. It's about having a feel for the game.
So if it doesn't work, you don't have a feel.
No. Well, that's my point, is that everybody just judges it based on the results. His process was there. He just was trying to be aggressive. He was trying to end the game. This is what I want my coach to be.
Does it not move you that 4 quarterbacks that won like 9 combined Super Bowls say, I wouldn't have done this?
No, because they all played like 20, 30 years ago. This is a new NFL.
They're dinosaurs, Joe.
They are. Like, the NFL changed.
I don't subscribe to that, but I was just...
No, it's true. Like, coaches are way more aggressive now. Those guys don't understand.
Then go for it, but it doesn't make any sense. He's half in, half out. You want to be aggressive?
I disagree.
4th and 3.
No, I think that changes the next thing you do. I think that changes the next thing you do. You have to have a feel for what just happened and react to it. You can't just be stubborn. No, we'd be calling him stubborn if he was doing the same thing over and over again and not adapting to the game.
He has no feel. 4th and 4. Ross Tucker just was on with us.
Saquon dropped the ball.
In the first quarter, 4th and 4. So Ross Tucker just said to us, that's a really hard conversion, and you don't have A.J. Brown. And you have a quarterback who can't see very well.
We're dancing around the issue because we like Saquon Barkley and we don't like Nick Sirianni. The running back blew the freaking game for us.
I tried to tell you earlier, he's not a very good pass catcher. I mean,
he's a fine pass catcher. He was wide open.
Okay, he has more drops than any running back in the league.
This is the same thing as the Brett Favre throws a lot of interceptions thing.
Like, right, so wait a second.
Good players that get a lot of opportunities tend to fail more often. That just happens.
Sure, and Brett Favre throwing over the middle is dangerous. I mean, like, that's part of the game.
But you still want Brett Favre to do it because he's good. Yes.
So wait, hold on a second. After
you put the ball in Brett Favre's hands to win a game.
Okay. After what you saw last night, you want them to throw the ball to Saquon on
Sunday? If he's wide open, I want them to throw the ball. Yes. It's that simple. He was wide open.
I don't want that. I don't want that.
No, because you got scared because he dropped the ball one time. He's a good player.
I already
debunked the more drops thing. Because he does not have the worst drop rate of any running back in the
time out. The most turnovers in the NFL since the start of last year's Jalen Hurts. When we talk about Jalen Hurts' turnovers, you think that's acceptable to talk about. The running back we signed has the most drops in the league.
That's a volume thing.
It's a volume thing, but it's also a fact. When you go into a play, you got to think about what's the worst case scenario
here? It's a misleading fact.
The drop is the worst case scenario.
Dude, if I chuck up 100 threes in a basketball game, I'm going to miss a lot more than a guy who chucks up 5. That's simple statistics.
Let's go to John in West Philly. What's up, John?
Hey, you guys all right?
No, absolutely not.
We are a house divided.
Not even close to all right, John.
It's only week two. We got, 15 more weeks in it?
And I'm not going to make it, John.
We're going to be like Saquon. We're going to tote the rock too much, huh? tired.
We need less touch. Rod, we need a day off. Now, go ahead, John.
But no, I'm calling in. I'm just telling you guys my observation because I believe I'm pretty fast. My 40 time is probably like 4.4. I only play AAU football. And I'm pretty sure if I noticed it during the game, the other team's defensive coordinators noticed it. And it's Dallas Goedert tipping a play. Every time his hand is in the dirt, it's a run play. Every time he stands up, it's a passing play. I just feel as though, like, you know, the defense, yeah, the last drive was terrible and stuff, but at least the Falcons weren't, you know, they didn't get touchdowns. They had how many points up until the last drive?
15.
15, something like that.
15. That's good. Jalen Hurts, you got paid this offseason, or whenever you got paid. You cannot go out there and throw 170 yards. That is terrible. I don't care if AJ was playing or not. Like, you got paid that money to create, like, make something happen, make somebody better, throw people open. I'm not seeing that. This is terrible. And I love the little burst that you've seen from him when he was running and stuff. He looked fast. He looked back to life. But you're a quarterback. Throw the ball. Like, it's terrible.
Well, and when he tried to, John, the last possession, it got picked off. John, it's a fair statement. I mean, it is. Like, Jalen made some plays with his legs last night. He moved the chains a lot. But there is something to the Seattle. Remember the Seattle game last year?
Mm-hmm.
Where he threw the pick on the last drive when they were going for the field goal?
Yeah.
And we all blame the defense for letting Drew Lock march down the field?
Yes.
John, I mean, our last caller makes a fair point. The Falcons had 15 points with 2 minutes to go in that game. And we're all mad at the defense today.
Yeah. Because it was the worst pick you could have thrown. Up until that point, I think Jalen graded out pretty good.
I would think so.
Yeah, and then that pick. But the pick, you know what it was for me when I saw that pick? Mm. It was just like, damn, poetic justice. It was like, I had to do a self-edit.
One of those days. All right, 215-592-9494.
I had to do a self-edit.
We almost had to dump you here. All right, on the other side. Your phone calls. We'll play some more audio from Sirianni and Ryan Clark immediately following the game. Who he put this on? It's the Midday Show. We're self-editing all day on Sports Radio 94 WIP. NFL Week 3 is here, and you can start the season with a big return on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. New to FanDuel, you'll get started with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. All right, let's go with an under on the game between New York and New England. I'll take an anytime touchdown for Breece Hall and under passing yards for Aaron Rodgers. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to make every moment more this season. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? an easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Yeah, this sums up today. It does. It sums it up. Welcome back to the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio reacting to an Eagles loss last night, 22-21 in the home opener to the Atlanta Falcons. All right. Sirianni yesterday, or last evening, he is talking about hindsight, reflecting on the decisions from the game. Here's Sirianni last night after the game. Sirianni after the game.
Nick, with your side, are there decisions you would have done differently in hindsight?
Sure. Like anytime you go and you don't get points on a drive in the red zone, you know, fourth and three in the first one, you're like, well, should I have went for that there? And, you know, I went for a fourth and three after that, you know, when after the completion to Dallas, that got us to fourth and three. We got that and we got points out of that. So anytime it doesn't work out, you know, that's why I'm sitting in this seat, the head coaching seat. Like, I got to be ready for the consequences of whether it works or whether it doesn't work. And in that scenario, first off, you know, obviously it didn't work. So obviously I'm going to second guess myself in those scenarios that it doesn't. Same thing on the third and three. It was an incomplete pass. So sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't work. And, you know, all I can do is go back and review those and say, did I like what we did here? Would we do it again? Or would we change directions next time? Everything's thought out of what we want to do, but, you know, that's this game of football. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And in those cases, it didn't. And so I got to rethink it.
Well, he should, because I didn't like what he did last night. I didn't like it in the moment, didn't like it today. Ryan Clark on ESPN last night, he said Sirianni gave the Falcons life last evening.
Nick Sirianni might have just saved the Atlanta Falcons season.
It's that big.
And I think he definitely changed the course of Kirk Cousins' season. And it's not because that one play did so much, but that one play allowed the Atlanta Falcons a chance to go be great. I believe it's a good play call, because if I'm Nick Sirianni and I know I want to go up, I want an opportunity to run the entire clock out, I'm going to put the football in the hands of my quarterback, who was the runner-up to the MVP 2 years ago, to my running back that I went out and spent big money on, who has a skill set that allows me to put him in the flat on a play I've seen work already tonight in that situation. He was wide open. The throw was exactly where it needed to be. It hit Saquon Barkley in the hands, one of the most talented players in the league, and he dropped it. But that's football. You make decisions as a head coach. You make the call as an offense coordinator if you're Kellen Moore, and then the players have to execute. And in that moment, as Saquon said, he didn't execute.
Well, he didn't. But that's part of why it frustrated me, because if the decision is, I want to end the game here, I don't want to give them the ball back, then just go for the fourth down. You trusted your quarterback and your team on third and three. Trust them on fourth three. You trust them on fourth down in the first quarter, but not the fourth quarter. It doesn't add up. Self in North Philly. What's up, Self? Self? Going twice. Self back on.
I mean, come on.
Anthony in Norristown is up. Hey, Anthony.
Yeah, what's up, guys?
What's How we doing, on, Anthony?
Man? I was at the game last night, so you can tell how I'm doing. So, you got me, right?
Well, we got you. Yeah, we're feeling right. The same as you. I can tell. I'm guessing annoyed, tired, combination of the two.
All of the above. Let's start off with Bijan. I said before the game, they need to have 2 to 3 sets of eyes on him at all times. Clearly, they didn't. So, blip one. Saquon drop. I mean, he had it in his hands. He should have caught it, but he started turning towards the end zone and took his eyes off the ball. Would you agree with that?
That's what it felt like.
Yeah. So the Jalen interception, he was throwing into double coverage. He basically gave it to them at the end of the game.
I watched it a few times this morning, Anthony, and I did notice that as he let go of the ball, Goddard came open over the middle. Because the guy that was like two guys, one over top of the Devontae, he actually intercepted at Bates, and there was a guy underneath him. The guy underneath, he kind of floated towards Devontae. If Jalen rips it to Goddard over the middle, they're probably at the 45 with the, you know, 20 seconds to go.
He was definitely open, and there was a third guy coming into coverage at that point. And I do want to mention Nick Foles at the very end, if you don't cut me off. But what exactly does Sirianni do?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Okay. I like that answer.
I'm not asking at the press conference, though. You get a little tested.
Well, he's the head coach.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah, he's the head. He reminds us he's the head coach, even though he doesn't break the team down after the game and can't figure out fourth downs. But he's in charge.
All right. So I like that. And then the Nick Foles thing. I have to charge someone on the 94 team for this. I don't know which show it was you. If it was you guys, if it was afternoon, it probably wasn't morning because I haven't been catching that. So, the camera, you're safe this time. But I was led to believe the ceremony or commemoration, whatever, was going to be at halftime. So I perfectly planned out to go to the bathroom just before the end of the first quarter, come back, and I sat in that seat all the way through. And was like, what happened here?
So, Anthony, I don't know why they did with it. So, I guess they did it, what, in between the end of the first quarter and the second quarter? That's when they did it?
I believe it was at the end of the first quarter when I was probably walking back to my seat. But I was told on this station, not your show necessarily, it could have been afternoon, that it was going to be halftime.
So, Anthony, here's what I'll say on that. It was never presented to Anthony. We appreciate it, and good call. I don't think any of us were ever presented with from the Eagles. Sometimes, like the Phillies will say, "Hey, sit down in your seats at 6:30, right, for a ceremony." The Eagles never presented that to anybody. I don't know why they did it when they did it. I have to imagine, Hugh, there was probably something on the board at some point telling people end of the first. I have no idea how they structure those things when they say, "Hey, well, Nick Foles, give him a hand."
I will say this. From what I saw, I mean, I want to say this right, because I don't want to get it wrong. Hispanic Heritage Month.
Okay.
I think that's what it is.
So was that part of halftime? Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Yes, that was the halftime show, and that's something that is league wide. Please, if I'm saying it wrong, please forgive me, because I want to be correct in what I'm saying. But it was Hispanic Heritage Month, I do believe, and that's why they had the salsa dance, because Jason Avant was out there on the field. So Jason gets it in.
When I worked with Jason, he told me how much he salsas.
No, listen. Shout out to Jason Avant. So much so that I want to learn how to salsa dance, because the look on his face and the seriousness that he was out there salsa dancing with, partner wasn't bad to look at either, by the way. I mean, none of those guys' partners were. Shout out to the people that were out there dancing. It was a cool look, and it was sun. You could tell why he likes doing it, because it's something that can help keep you in shape. So that's what it was. That's why they couldn't do it at halftime.
Yeah, look, I don't. That makes a lot of sense to me. If you missed it, obviously, and you were there last night, that stinks. Now, he did join us in the pregame show last night, and it was awesome. The crowd out there was great, and we had a great time, you know, catching up with Nick for about 10 minutes last night. But it's just cool that he was back and he was around. Self in North Philly, what's up, Self?
Yo, what's going on, fellas?
What's going on?
Hey, listen. Let me start with this. Kyle is the reason, and this Philadelphia fan base is the reason why the Eagles are where they are. They play fan ball and not football. Overstand something. Number one, football is a game of chess, not checkers. You want to see shootouts and high scores? Watch basketball. That's a game of checkers. Football is a game of chess. It's a game of strategy. It's a game of decision making. Now, Sirianni. That being said, this is an organization of bad decision makers, period. From Jeffrey Lurie bringing back Howard Roseman to Howard Roseman letting go the players that he let go and then bringing some back. Like, and Sirianni not going forward on fourth down. The rule for football is you always take the points unless it doesn't make sense and you need a touchdown. You always take the points. That's the rule of football. I don't know what this microwave generation of football fans is looking at or wanting, but that's not the game of football. If he takes that field goal, we might be talking about a different game. Maybe we won't, but we might be. You know what I'm saying? Then Jalen Hurts is who he is. Let's just be honest. I'm going on the record to say it now. He is a poor decision maker. He forces balls that don't need to be forced. This is probably why he lost his starting job to Tua in college. Maybe the college coaches saw that. I don't know much about his college career. But I'm telling you, watching him now, he is a horrible decision maker. He is not a floor. He's not a floor general or a field general. He's not. He doesn't have what it takes. He doesn't see the field. He sees one person. He goes in that huddle like, A.J. getting the ball. And that's who he's going to look at.
Well,
the whole
and that's the interception last night. Yeah, that was it.
The whole
and
time.
Jesse Bates ran over self. I it's hard for me to argue with that. I mean, look, I think he played relatively well last night. Itself, we appreciate it. But, Hugh, we're on a stretch now. And again, Jalen was not the main reason they lost last night. Mm-hmm. He couldn't rescue them when they needed that. He couldn't do it. But just his play over the last year plus is way closer to average than it is special.
I tell you, it reminded me of this. It's like we talked about it a few weeks ago. Well, before the season started. Like a lot of times in certain situations. Like we talked about it when we were talking about at the beginning of the Green Bay game. You revert to what you know, what's comfortable. And that's kind of what it felt like. It what I saw last night with Jalen, he was just trying to get the ball down the field, push it down the field. Now, there were some other opportunities probably underneath, because at that point you need a field goal.
Right.
But you're going for all the gusto. Time is not on your side.
It reminded me of the Seahawks game.
Yeah, time is not on your side.
They don't score much, but they're ahead. The defense blows it, and then Jalen gets the ball back late, and there's a chance. I mean, they would have had to make the right play, and the field goal probably would end up 55, 60 yards, depending on where they would have got to with the one timeout. But the pick happens, and they never have a chance to take that
field goal. And you know what the
irony?
You know what the irony of that whole scenario is because we talk about how in the beginning of the game, he felt pressure to get that playoff, and he threw an interception. The irony for me is that right before Kirk Cousins drove the ball down the field and said what he said, Troy Aikman came on and said, hey, this is why you pay Kirk Cousins the money that you pay for moments like this. And Kirk Cousins marched down the field and scored. So now – roughly 30 seconds on the clock or something like that. It was not a whole lot of time.
But they had a timeout, they needed a field goal.
They needed a field goal. So now, and I'm not saying this is true, but it's the irony of listening to that call and hearing that and then seeing what Jalen does. Right out the shoot, yam, he's trying to go for all the gusto.
So this is petty, but I heard it on Sal's phone call. I've heard it a lot on the show today. Does anybody actually know what the whole chestnut checkers phrasing is supposed to mean? Checkers is where you have two sets of moves, basically, or like one move, and you just do the same thing all the time. The chess is calling the pass play on the third and three, being aggressive and trying to win the game, using everything in your arsenal and doing something that's zigging while the other team zag. That's chess, not checkers.
No, well,
but it's risk.
We have to drop that.
But it's, okay, it's fine.
No,
we can drop that.
We don't use that.
But it's risk.
No,
it
doesn't make any sense.
It's more being more strategic.
No, it's like being more simple in your actions.
No, checkers is more simple.
No, it's not. Yes,
chess is
yes.
More strategic.
That's my.
I think
yeah,
the implication is if you are a good chess player, you're probably wise and smart and a quick thinker mm-hmm. and a smart thinker. If you're a checkers
chess, you need to be more outside the box in your thinking,
that's
which
fine.
Is going, which is make doing a pass play on third and three. I just want to get that out there.
But if you are willing,
I like how
if
you looked it up, though.
Yeah, it's fine. If you're willing to throw the ball, I'm all about what's the objective. The objective, if you're throwing the ball on third and three, is to win the game, right? You don't want to give the ball back to the Falcons. That's the whole point, because you say, they're stuffing the line, very difficult to run there, I want to get the first down. Then you don't want to give the... You're saying without saying it, I don't want to give you the ball back. That's my fear. Giving you the ball back could cost me the game. Then go for it on fourth down.
But no, because then the scenario changes when you get to fourth down, because you are more resigned to the fact that you are very likely to give them the ball back. So then you have to weigh your options. Do I want to give them the ball back with a 6-point lead or a 3-point lead? I think it's I'm totally okay with them taking the points out. I don't understand why everyone's freaking out. I think people just... Like they were ready to jump down Sirianni's throat as soon as something bad happened.
This is
they
all
don't
want to
blame Saquon Barkley because we like the guy and he was the fun signing of the offseason. But the reality is he dropped the ball that would have won the game. It's so simple.
Yeah, we could also blame Jalen. He threw an interception to seal the loss. Like it won.
Everyone knows what the turning point was. Everyone knows what the turning point was.
Get out of the way. Do whatever you do all week and get out of the way. He didn't get out of the way last night. He interjected himself right in the game. He's like a baseball manager that made the wrong call.
I think his managing was fine.
Oh, I thought it was awful.
A good player made a bad play.
Jay in West Philly. Yeah. What's up, Jay?
Julio, I'll blame this on you.
Mm-hmm. I figured. All right, why?
You were a 49ers fan. You was all rooting for us yesterday. The dad had been your boy Shanahan. Oh, great play call. He just dropped the pass. It was right there. Saquon dropped the ball. That's why we lost. That was it. The game was over. Perfect play call. He dropped the ball.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he dropped the ball, I know. I mean, are you trying to compare Sirianni to Shanahan? Because I can't do it today.
I'm talking about you being a 49ers
fan. I'm not a 49ers fan. Just because I think they're better run and they have a smarter coach doesn't mean I'm a 49ers fan, Jay. The coach screwed up last night.
Choke all the time. The coach ain't choked. The play call was right there.
Oh, God.
You want to talk about coaches choking? Talk about the old man Fangio. He was running Philadelphia Stars plays out there.
That was a good one. Yeah. That was a good one.
I'm not going to argue with Fangio. Fangio's done nothing for 2 weeks but sit in his box and look angry.
Who was all? I like the way Fangio talks. He's an old school guy. They're going to practice during the preseason. What were they practicing?
I don't know.
The defense played during the preseason. What did they do?
I had to walk that one back a little bit.
What did they do? They played during the preseason. Defense played.
They might be on to something with this one.
Well, they also might have bad defensive players.
Blitz the statue right there.
Yeah, we
70 yards to go. They didn't blitz him once, move him off his spot or nothing. Just sat back there and look.
I'm
going to blame Sirianni.
Jay, if they run the football, they run the clock down.
Football. We caught the pass. It was over. It was over. Perfect play call. Right? We were screaming Kellen Moore. We got Kellen Moore. New offense. This at the third. Perfect play call. I give it that. Saquon dropped the ball. He catches the ball. What are we talking about?
Well, he often drops the ball, Jay. We're getting to know it now. He often drops the football.
He had four catches yesterday.
And he has the most drops in the – I don't understand. Like, when Jalen Hurts drops back, he turns the ball over a lot. It's a real possibility.
Who missed more three-pointers, Curry or Ben Simmons? Curry don't take none, right? I mean, Simmons don't take them, right?
No, please stop. Please stop. He doesn't have
a great point.
No, he doesn't have a point. Saquon Barkley has the most drops of any running back. If we think we have Brian Westbrook or Christian McCaffrey or Marshall Faulk, we are sadly mistaken. That's not who he is. He's not a great pass-catching running back. It's the truth. Look at his career. He drops the ball a lot.
But he's not, like, the worst one to where you just do not throw him the ball.
Of course not. I didn't say that.
All right, well, then, like, we have to forget about that.
No, we don't. It's part of the reality of who the player is. Just like, okay, that's like me saying, you know what? I think Jalen Hurts is a good decision maker, so he probably won't throw a pick. No, he throws a lot of picks now.
Hold on a second. Because we haven't gone back and looked at all of Saquon's drops, right? Like, they could be contested catches. How many wide open passes out of the flat does Saquon catch?
He dropped a terrible one.
Yeah, okay. And that's the exact moment that we should be looking at as to why the Eagles lost this game. Is because the best one of the best players on the offense screwed up.
I feel like the 42nd runoff.
Yes.
I can't argue what the analytics tell you because, like you said, we've seen this before, and quarterbacks talk about how they probably would have handled it differently. Man, again, three things happen when you run the football, throw the football.
And two are bad.
Two of them are bad.
And we got the bad last night.
I would have felt more comfortable giving Kirk Cousins a minute or less than a minute on the clock as opposed to giving him a minute 30.
We're arguing too much what happened. Not the decision-making is the idea. It's not what happened. I mean, anyone could say what you're saying, Kyle. He dropped a wide-open pass. We all saw it. The decision-making. There's a real chance. Jalen Hurts has incompletions on 40% of his throws, right? There's a 40% chance there, whether it's a good ball or not. It's not caught. No. That's a fact, right?
I understand that.
So 40% of the time, Jalen Hurts drops back to pass, and it's an incomplete pass. Mm-hmm. That is, you go into the play and you think, 40%, this might be incomplete. That's the quarterback we have, okay?
Yes.
That's the reality of the passing game. If you run the ball there, what do you think he gets? I think he probably gets the first down or he gets 2 yards.
I have no idea.
Wait a second. We do. We have an average of his runs.
No, okay, but I can't predict what's going to happen on that particular play, just like you can't predict that he's going to drop a pass that's wide open in the flat.
The probability is Saquon Barkley has a positive run, if not a first down. But here's what you can guarantee. The clock runs. That's the only guarantee. The clock runs on the run.
The clock doesn't matter.
It does.
I just think the results are affecting how we view the decision-making process.
I'm going
too much
before the decision-making. There's a reason. I know we can all have our disagreements, and we can all have our own opinions. There's a reason why Ross Tucker, Tony Dungy, Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, everyone said the same thing.
Because they saw him drop it. No, if it works, we're all praising the aggressive decision in the play call.
They're saying it on the Manning cast before the play call. Ross Tucker's telling us he felt the same way Ray Dininger. Nobody thinks that's a smart call. Besides Kellen Moore and Nick Sirianni.
Kellen Moore's a good offensive coordinator.
Yeah, is he?
Yes.
Well, all right.
He called a play that worked. The player dropped it.
Well, it technically it didn't work.
Simple. You know, when he got fired in Dallas, Mike McCarthy made the point that he wants to light up the scoreboard. He doesn't know how to win games yet. I saw that
McCarthy was talking about bringing us back to the 80s.
No, but guess what? His offense was better without Kellen Moore. What I saw last night was an offensive coordinator that wanted to make the play to win the game instead of make the smart play. And the head coach didn't override him.
I saw our best running back drop an easy
pass. That's wonderful. It's the process. The process.
I think it's affected by
no
the results.
Sense. Anthony in Hamilton. Hey, Anthony.
Anthony,
you there, Anthony?
Hey, how you doing? I'm sorry.
No. I mean, come on.
Let's go ahead.
I heard you guys a couple minutes ago talking about a hair revival, a hair loss thing.
Yes.
I'm 19 years old. After that game, I might need it. It was absolutely horrible.
Dr. Rafi. Call Dr. Rafi.
Help
Anthony
you out if you back in the, get you back in the dating game too,
or just the football game.
Or just the football game will get you more clients.
Anthony, what are you thinking?
So I'm hearing a lot of people talk about Hurts, Saquon, and Sirianni, and I understand the Saquon drop should have never happened. It was abhorrent. But at the same time, they marched down the field. They should have ran the ball, in my opinion. They should have ran the ball because, again, like you guys said, the only sure way the clock would stop. They ended up scoring the points anyway. We were up with, 39 seconds left? In my opinion, the biggest person to blame is Vic Fangio and that defense. I get the Fangio defense, the zone coverages, but when it doesn't work on the first big play, I think it's absolutely ridiculous to not change it, to do the exact same thing. And that's what they did for, four straight plays, where they let the Falcons, within 40 seconds, drive down that field and score the game-winning touchdown, which was horribly blown coverage by Darius Slay. So when we're talking about Saquon should have caught the ball, Saquon, I understand that, but at the same time, I don't think 39 seconds is a lot of time. I think that we're still in winning position when they get the football.
Well, they should have been. Anthony, I'm glad you brought up the Slay thing. We appreciate Slay on that last play has probably gotten the most off the hook at anybody.
Because everybody's focused on the wrong thing.
He wasn't even in the zip code.
Well, I'm not going to say the wrong thing. Everybody's focused
on the pass rush.
On what they feel was the reason why the game was lost. And like I said, you can point out multiple, there's never, in any football game, there's never just one thing.
Well, there's so many plays. Yeah.
It's never just one thing, but it's the thing that sticks out to us the most. The Saquon Bar, it's all, in all of this with us is decision-based.
Mm-hmm.
The decisions that are being made. What's his name? Slay talked about, Big Play was talking about how he was looking in the backfield and he got caught. That happened.
That's a decision he made.
He made a decision. Like everything has consequences. Like we talked about yesterday, Philly. Now, if we missed that play, we didn't. But if we did, we're having a different conversation. Same thing with that Saquon Barkley play. In my opinion, if I'm coaching, I'm going with the safer call. Now, to Kyle's point, analytics tell you that, hey, in this situation, they got the box crowded. That, it's better to go for the pass play. But you were pushing them cats around all night long.
Analytics also said kicking the field goal was better. Going for it on fourth down was better than the field goal. So, if we're going to follow it. If we're not. And just be conservative. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. Our final segment coming up, we'll get to your phone calls here before we pass it off to the afternoon show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Everyone knows when Kyle goes yard, beers are on Kyle the next day. Yes, at bars all over the Philly area. You can get a free Philly standard, the tailgate beer from Yards Brewing Company. Go to yardsbrewing.com to find participating bars, including McGurk's and Horsham with $5 Philly standard cans, along with McGurk's famous crab pretzel, or Jersey's in Glenside, also with $5 Philly standard cans. In a takeout beer store with plenty of Yards varieties. Yards Brewing Company, celebrating 30 years, made by Philly. Drink responsibly. Today. It does. It sums it up. Welcome back to the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio reacting to an Eagles loss last night, 22-21 in the home opener to the Atlanta Falcons. All right. Sirianni yesterday, or last evening, he is talking about hindsight, reflecting on the decisions from the game. Here's Sirianni last night after the game.
Are there decisions you would have done differently in hindsight?
Sure. Anytime you go and you don't get points on a drive in the red zone, fourth and three in the first one, you're like, well, should I have went for that there? And, you know, I went for a 4th-and-3 after that, you know, when after the completion to Dallas, they got us to 4th-and-3. We got that, and we got points out of that. So anytime it doesn't work out, you know, that's why I'm sitting in this seat, the head coaching seat. Like, I got to be ready for the consequences of whether it works or whether it doesn't work. And in that scenario, first off, you know, obviously it didn't work. So obviously I'm going to second guess myself in those scenarios that it doesn't. Same thing on the 3rd-and-3. It was an incomplete pass. So sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't work. And, you know, all I can do is go back and review those and say, did I like what we did here? Would we do it again, or would we change directions next time? Everything's thought out of what we want to do, but, you know, that's this game of football. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, and in those cases it didn't, and so I got to rethink it.
Well, he should, because I didn't like what he did last night. I didn't like it in the moment, didn't like it today. Ryan Clark on ESPN last night, he said Sirianni gave the Falcons life last evening.
Nick Sirianni might have just saved the Atlanta Falcons season.
It's that big.
And I think he definitely changed the course of Kirk Cousins' season. And it's not because that one play did so much, but that one play allowed the Atlanta Falcons a chance to go be great. I believe it's a good play call, because if I'm Nick Sirianni and I know I want to go up, I want an opportunity to run the entire clock out, I'm going to put the football in the hands of my quarterback, who was the runner-up to the MVP 2 years ago, to my running back that I went out and spent big money on, who has a skill set that allows me to put him in the flat on a play I've seen work already tonight in that situation. He was wide open. The throw was exactly where it needed to be. It hit Saquon Barkley in the hands, one of the most talented players in the league, and he dropped it. But that's football. You make decisions as a head coach. You make the call as an offense coordinator if you're Kellen Moore, and then the players have to execute. And in that moment, as Saquon said, he didn't execute.
Well, he didn't, but that's part of why it frustrated me, because if the decision is, I want to end the game here, I don't want to give them the ball back, then just go for the 4th down. You trusted your quarterback and your team on 3rd-and-3. Trust them on 4th-and-3. You trust them on 4th down in the first quarter, but not the 4th quarter. It doesn't add up. Self in North Philly. What's up, Self? Self? Going twice. Self back on.
I mean, come on.
Anthony in Norristown is up. Hey, Anthony.
Yeah, what's up, guys?
How we doing, on, Anthony?
Man? I was at the game last night, so you can tell how I'm doing. So, you got me, right?
Well, we got you. Yeah, we're feeling right. The same as you. I could tell. I'm guessing annoyed, tired, combination of the two.
All of the above. Let's start off with Bijan. I said before the game, they need to have 2 to 3 sets of eyes on him at all times. Clearly, they didn't. So, blip one. Saquon drop. I mean, he had it in his hands. He should have caught it, but he started turning towards the end zone and took his eyes off the ball. Would you agree with that?
That's what it felt like.
Yeah. So the Jalen interception, he was throwing in a double coverage. He basically gave it to them at the end of the game.
I watched it a few times this morning, Anthony, and I did notice that as he let go of the ball, Goddard came open over the middle. Because the guy that was like two guys, one over top of the Devontae, he actually intercepted at Bates, and there was a guy underneath him. The guy underneath, he kind of floated towards Devontae. If Jalen rips it to Goddard over the middle, they're probably at the 45 with the, you know, 20 seconds to go.
He was definitely open, and there was a third guy coming into coverage at that point. And I do want to mention Nick Foles at the very end, if you don't cut me off. But what exactly does Sirianni do?
I'm not sure.
Okay. I like that answer.
I'm not asking at the press conference, though. You get a little tested.
Well, he's the head coach.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah, he's the head. He reminds us he's the head coach, even though he doesn't break the team down after the game and can't figure out 4th downs. But he's in charge.
All right. So I like that. And then the Nick Foles thing. I have to charge someone on the 94 team for this. I don't know which show it was you. If it was you guys, if it was afternoon, it probably wasn't morning because I haven't been catching that. So the camera, you're safe this time. But I was led to believe the ceremony or commemoration, whatever, was going to be at halftime. So I perfectly planned out to go to the bathroom just before the end of the first quarter, come back, and I sat in that seat all the way through and was like, what happened here?
So, Anthony, I don't know why they did with it. So I guess they did it, what, in between the end of the first quarter and the second quarter? That's when they did it?
I believe it was at the end of the first quarter when I was probably walking back to my seat. But I was told on this station, not your show necessarily, could have been afternoon, that it was going to be halftime.
So, Anthony, here's what I'll say on that. It was never presented to Anthony. We appreciate it. And good call. I don't think any of us were ever presented with from the Eagles. Sometimes, like, the Phillies will say, hey, sit down in your seats at 6:30, right, for a ceremony. The Eagles ever presented that to anybody? I don't know why they did it when they did it. I have to imagine, Hugh, there was probably something on the board at some point telling people, end of the first – I have no idea how they structure those things when they say, hey, well, Nick Foles, give him a hand.
I will say this. From what I saw, I mean, I want to say this right, because I don't want to get it wrong. Hispanic Heritage Month.
Okay.
I think that's what it is.
So was that part of halftime? Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Yes, that was the halftime show. And that's something that is league-wide. Please, if I'm saying it wrong, please forgive me, because I want to be correct in what I'm saying. But it was Hispanic Heritage Month, I do believe. And that's why they had the salsa dance, because Jason Avant was out there on the field. So Jason gets it in, bro.
When I worked with Jason, he told me how much he salsas.
No, listen. Shout out to Jason Avant. So much so that I want to learn how to salsa dance, because the look on his face and the seriousness that he was out there salsa dancing with, partner wasn't bad to look at either, by the way. I mean, none of those guys' partners were. Shout out to the people that were out there dancing. It was a cool look, and it was something. You could tell why he likes doing it, because it's something that can help keep you in shape. So that's what it was. That's why they couldn't do it at halftime.
Yeah, look, I don't – that makes a lot of sense to me. If you missed it, obviously, and you were there last night, that stinks. Now, he did join us in the pregame show last night, and it was awesome. The crowd out there was great, and we had a great time, you know, catching up with Nick for about 10 minutes last night. But it's just cool that he was back and he was around. Self in North Philly. What's up, Self?
Yo, what's going on, fellas?
What's going on?
Hey, listen, let me start with this. Kyle is the reason, and this Philadelphia fan base is the reason why the Eagles are where they are. They play fan ball and not football. Overstand something. Number one, football is a game of chess, not checkers. You want to see shootouts and high scores? Watch basketball. That's a game of checkers. Football is a game of chess. It's a game of strategy. It's a game of decision making. Now, Sirianni, that being said, this is an organization of bad decision makers, period. From Jeffrey Lurie bringing back Howard Roseman to Howard Roseman letting go the players that he let go and then bringing some back. Like, and Sirianni not going forward on fourth down. The rule for football is you always take the points unless it doesn't make sense and you need a touchdown. You always take the points. That's the rule of football. I don't know what this microwave generation of football fans is looking at or wanting, but that's not the game of football. If he takes that field goal, we might be talking about a different game. Maybe we won't, but we might be. You know what I'm saying? Then Jalen Hurts is who he is. Let's just be honest. I'm going on the record to say it now. He is a poor decision maker. He forces balls that don't need to be forced. This is probably why he lost his starting job to Tua in college. Maybe the college coaches saw that. I don't know much about his college career. But I'm telling you, watching him now, he is a horrible decision maker. He is not a floor general or a field general. He's not. He doesn't have what it takes. He doesn't see the field. He sees one person. He goes in that huddle like AJ getting the ball. And that's who he's going to look at.
Well,
the
and that's the interception last the night. Ball. Yeah,
that's
and that was it.
The whole
and
time.
Jesse Bates ran over Self. It's hard for me to argue with that. I mean, look, I think he played relatively well last night. Self, we appreciate it. But, Hugh, we're on a stretch now. And again, Jalen was not the main reason they lost last night. Mm-hmm. He couldn't rescue them when they needed that. He couldn't do it. But just his play over the last year plus is way closer to average than it is special.
I tell you, it reminded me of this. It's like we talked about it a few weeks ago. Well, before the season started. Like, a lot of times, in certain situations. Like we talked about it when we were talking about at the beginning of the Green Bay game. You revert to what you know, what's comfortable. And that's kind of what it felt like, what I saw last night with Jalen. He was just trying to get the ball down the field, push it down the field. Now, there were some other opportunities probably underneath, because at that point you need a field goal.
Right.
But I guess you're going for all the gusto. Time is not on your side.
It reminded me of the Seahawks game.
Yeah, time is not on your side.
They don't score much, but they're ahead. The defense blows it, and then Jalen gets the ball back late, and there's a chance. I mean, they would have had to make the right play, and the field goal probably would end up 55, 60 yards, depending on where they would have got to with the one timeout. But the pick happens, and they never have a chance to
make
that
field goal. And you know what the irony of that whole scenario is because we talk about how in the beginning of the game, he felt pressure to get that playoff, and he threw an interception. The irony for me is that right before Kirk Cousins drove the ball down the field and said what he said, Troy Aikman came on and said, hey, this is why you pay Kirk Cousins the money that you pay for moments like this. And Kirk Cousins marched down the field and scored. So now – roughly 30 seconds on the clock or something like that. It was not a whole lot of time.
But they had a timeout, and they needed a field goal.
They needed a field goal. So now, and I'm not saying this is true, but it's the irony of listening to that call and hearing that and then seeing what Jalen does. Right out the shoot, yam, he's trying to go for all the gusto.
So this is petty, but I heard it on Sal's phone call. I've heard it a lot on the show today. Does anybody actually know what the whole chestnut checkers phrasing is supposed to mean? Checkers is where you have two sets of moves, basically, or like one move, and you just do the same thing all the time. The chess is calling the pass play on the 3rd and 3, being aggressive and trying to win the game, using everything in your arsenal and doing something that's zigging while the other team zag. That's chess, not checkers.
No,
but it's risk.
We have to drop that.
But it's, okay, fine.
No,
we can drop that.
We're going to use that.
But it's risk.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
It's more being more strategic.
No, it's like being more simple in your actions.
No, checkers is more simple.
No, it's not. Yes,
chess is more strategic.
That's my
point. I think the implication is if you are a good chess player, you're probably wise and smart and a quick thinker and a smart thinker. If you're a checkers
player, you need to be more outside the box in your thinking.
That's
which
fine.
Is going, which is make doing a pass play on 3rd and 3.
Then,
I just want to get that out there.
But if you are willing,
I like how
if
you looked it up, though.
Yeah, it's fine. If you're willing to throw the ball, I'm all about what's the objective. The objective, if you're throwing the ball on 3rd and 3, is to win the game, right? You don't want to give the ball back to the Falcons. That's the whole point, because you say, they're stuffing the line, very difficult to run there, I want to get the first down. Then you don't want to give the – you're saying without saying it, I don't want to give you the ball back. That's my fear. Giving you the ball back could cost me the game. Then go for it on fourth down.
But no, because then the scenario changes when you get to fourth down, because you are more resigned to the fact that you are very likely to give them the ball back. So then you have to weigh your options. Do I want to give them the ball back with a 6-point lead or a 3-point lead? I think it's I'm totally okay with them taking the points out. I don't understand why everyone's freaking out. I think people just – like they were ready to jump down Sirianni's throat as soon as something bad happened.
This is
they
all
don't
want to
blame Saquon Barkley because we like the guy and he was the fun signing of the offseason, but the reality is he dropped the ball that would have won the game. It's so simple.
Yeah, we could also blame Jalen. He threw an interception to seal the loss. Like
everyone knows what the turning point was. Everyone knows what the turning point was.
Get out of the way. Do whatever you do all week and get out of the way. He didn't get out of the way last night. He interjected himself right in the game. He's like a baseball manager that made the wrong call.
I think his managing was fine.
Oh, I thought it was awful.
A good player made a bad play.
Jay in West Philly. What's up, Jay?
Julio, I'll blame this on you.
I figured. All right, why?
You were a 49er fan. You was all rooting for us yesterday. The dad had been your boy Shanahan. Oh, great play call. He just dropped the pass. It was right there. Saquon dropped the ball. That's why we lost. That was it. The game was over. Perfect play call. He dropped the ball.
I mean, he dropped the ball, I know. I mean, are you trying to compare Sirianni to Shanahan? Because I can't do it today.
I'm talking about you being a 49ers fan.
I'm not a 49ers fan. Just because I think they're better run and they have a smarter coach doesn't mean I'm a 49ers fan, Jay. The coach screwed up last night.
He choked all the time. The coach say choked. The play call was right there.
Oh, God.
If you want to talk about coaches choking, talk about the old man Fangio. He running Philadelphia Stars plays out there.
That was a good one. Yeah. That was a good one.
I'm not going to argue with Fangio. Fangio's done nothing for 2 weeks but sit in his box and look angry.
But you was all, I like the way Fangio talked. He's an old school guy. They're going to practice during the preseason. What were they practicing?
I don't know.
The defense played during the preseason. What did they do?
Might have to walk that one back a little bit.
Huh?
What did they do? They played during the preseason. Defense played.
Jay might be on to something with this one.
Well, they also might have bad defensive players.
Blitz the statue right there.
Yeah, we.
70 yards to go. They didn't blitz him once, move him off his spot or nothing. Just sat back there and looked.
Jay might have.
I'm
going to blame Sirianni.
Jay, if they run the football, they run the clock down.
Football, yeah. We caught the pass. It was over. It was over. Perfect play call, right? We were screaming Kellen Moore. We got Kellen Moore. New offense. Just added third. Perfect play call. I give it that. Saquon dropped the ball. He catches the ball. What are we talking about?
Well, he often drops the ball, Jay. We're getting to know it now. He often drops the football.
He had four catches yesterday.
And he has the most drops in the. I don't understand. Like when Jalen Hurts drops back, he turns the ball over a lot. It's a real possibility
Who missed more 3-pointers, Curry or Ben Simmons? Curry don't take none, right? I mean, Simmons don't take them, right?
No, please stop. He doesn't have
a great point.
No, he doesn't have a point. Saquon Barkley has the most drops of any running back. If we think we have Brian Westbrook or Christian McCaffrey or Marshall Faulk, we are sadly mistaken. That's not who he is. He's not a great pass-catching running back. It's the truth. Look at his career. He drops the ball a lot.
But he's not like the worst one to where you just do not throw him the ball.
Of course not. I didn't say that.
All right, well, then do we have to forget about that?
No, we don't. It's part of the reality of who the player is. Just like, okay, that's like me saying, you know what? I think Jalen Hurts is a good decision maker, so he probably won't throw a pick. No, he throws a lot of picks now.
Hold on a second. Because we haven't gone back and looked at all of Saquon's drops, right? Like, they could be contested catches. How many wide open passes
catch? He dropped a terrible one.
Yeah, okay. And that's the exact moment that we should be looking at as to why the Eagles lost this game. It's because one of the best players on the offense screwed up.
To be honest, I feel like the 40-second runoff.
Yes.
I can't argue what the analytics tell you because, like you said, we've seen this before, and quarterbacks talk about how they probably would have handled it differently. Man, again, three things happen when you run the football, throw the football.
And two are bad.
Two of them are bad.
And we got the bad last night.
And I would have felt more comfortable giving Kirk Cousins a minute or less than a minute on the clock as opposed to giving him a minute.
We're arguing too much what happened. Not the decision making is the idea. It's not what happened. I mean, anyone could say what you're saying, Kyle. He dropped a wide open pass. We all saw it. The decision making. There's a real chance. Jalen Hurts has incompletions on 40% of his throws, right? There's a 40% chance there, whether it's a good ball or not. It's not caught. No. That's a fact, right?
I understand that.
So 40% of the time, Jalen Hurts drops back to pass, and it's an incomplete pass. Mm-hmm. That is, you go into the play and you think, 40%, this might be incomplete. That's the quarterback we have, okay?
Yes.
That's the reality of the passing game. If you run the ball there, what do you think he gets? I think he probably gets the first down, or he gets 2 yards.
I have no idea.
Wait a second. We do. We have an average of his runs.
No. Okay, but I can't predict what's going to happen on that particular play, just like you can't predict that he's going to drop a pass wide open in the flat.
Probability. The probability is Saquon Barkley has a positive run, if not a first down. You can guarantee the clock runs. That's the only guarantee. The clock runs on the run.
The clock doesn't matter.
It does.
I just think the results are affecting how we view the decision-making process.
I'm going before the decision-making. There's a reason. I know we can all have our disagreements, and we can all have our own opinions. There's a reason why Ross Tucker, Tony Dungy, Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, everyone said the same thing.
Because they saw him drop it.
No,
if it works, we're all praising the aggressive decision.
They're saying it on the Manning cast before the play call. Ross Tucker's telling us he felt the same way Ray Dininger. Nobody thinks that's a smart call. Besides Kellen Moore and Nick Sirianni.
Kellen Moore's a good offensive coordinator.
Yeah, is he?
Yes.
All right.
He called a play that worked. The player dropped it.
Well, it didn't work.
You know, when he got fired in Dallas, Mike McCarthy made the point that he wants to light up the scoreboard. He doesn't know how to win games yet.
McCarthy was talking about bringing us back to the 80s.
No, but guess what? His offense was better without Kellen Moore. What I saw last night was an offensive coordinator that wanted to make the play to win the game instead of make the smart play. And the head coach didn't override him.
I saw our best running back drop an easy
pass.
That's
wonderful.
It's the process.
The process.
I think it's affected by the results.
Anthony in Hamilton. Hey, Anthony.
Anthony?
You there, Anthony?
Hey, how you doing? I'm sorry.
No. I mean, come on.
Let's go ahead.
I heard you guys a couple minutes ago talking about a hair revival, a hair loss thing.
Yes.
I'm 19 years old. After that game, I might need it. It was absolutely horrible.
Dr. Rafi. Call Dr. Rafi.
Help you out if you back in the, get you back in the dating game too,
or just the football game.
Or just the football game will get you more clients.
Anthony, what are you thinking?
So I'm hearing a lot of people talk about Hurts, Saquon, Sirianni, and I understand the Saquon drop should never happen. It was abhorrent, but at the same time, they marched down the field. They should have ran the ball, in my opinion. They should have ran the ball because, again, like you guys said, the only sure way the clock would stop. They ended up scoring the points anyway. We were up with, 39 seconds left? In my opinion, the biggest person to blame is Vic Fangio and that defense. I get the Fangio defense, the zone coverages, but when it doesn't work on the first big play, I think it's absolutely ridiculous to not change it, to do the exact same thing. And that's what they did for, four straight plays, where they let the Falcons, within 40 seconds, drive down that field and score the game-winning touchdown, which was horribly blown coverage by Darius Slay. So when we're talking about Saquon should have caught the ball, Saquon, I understand that, but at the same time, I don't think 39 seconds is a lot of time. I think that we're still in winning position when they get the football.
Well, they should have been. Anthony, I'm glad you brought up the Slay thing. We appreciate Slay on that last play has probably gotten the most off the hook at anybody.
Because everybody's focused on the wrong thing.
He wasn't even in the zip code.
Well, I'm not going to say the wrong thing. Everybody's focused
on the pass rush.
On what they feel was the reason why the game was lost. And like I said, you can point out multiple. There's never in any football game, there's never just one thing.
Well, there's so many plays.
It's never just one thing, but it's the thing that sticks out to us the most. The Saquon Bar. It's all in all of this with us is decision based.
Mm-hmm.
The decisions that are being made. What's his name? Slay talked about big play. Was talking about how he was looking in the backfield and he got caught. That happened.
That's a decision he made.
He made a decision. Like everything has consequences. Like we talked about yesterday. Philly. Now, if we missed that play, we didn't. But if we did, we're having a different conversation. Same thing with that Saquon Barkley play. In my opinion, if I'm coaching, I'm going with the safer call. Now, to Kyle's point, analytics tell you that, hey, in this situation, they got the box crowded, that, it's better to go for the pass play. But you were pushing them cats around all night long.
Analytics also said kicking the field goal was better. Going for it on fourth down was better than the field goal. So, if we're going to follow it. If we're not. Just be conservative. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. Our final segment coming up, we'll get to your phone calls here before we pass it off to the afternoon show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Everyone knows when Kyle goes yard, beers are on Kyle the next day. Yes, at bars all over the Philly area. You can get a free Philly standard, the tailgate beer from Yards Brewing Company. Go to yardsbrewing.com to find participating bars, including McGurk's and Horsham with $5 Philly standard cans, along with McGurk's famous crab pretzel, or Jersey's in Glenside, also with $5 Philly standard cans. In a takeout beer store with plenty of Yards varieties. Yards Brewing Company, celebrating 30 years, made by Philly. Drink responsibly.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.